Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Christian entrepreneurs have a love-hate relationship with profit. Many Christians select the non-profit business model more often than our non-Christian peers. There seems to be some stigma with profit that if they earn it, they feel compelled to give it away and remain personally poor. You have tuned in to Debt Free Wealth Radio with Trudy Behrman. Thank you for taking me along with you on your mobile device, the web, or through my syndicated outlets. I bring you topics, programs, and products geared to move the Christian or income earner to become a profitable steward of what God has put under our control, because prosperity is not entitled, but it is within reach. Now, today's topic is Christians in network marketing as Jesus followers. Should we be poor? Now, honestly, guys, this really pertains to anyone in business, but the focus tonight is on Christians in network marketing, and as Jesus followers, should we be poor? Now, I have Pastor Tony Davis on the line. Tony, are you here?
Yes, I am. I appreciate you for having me on the show.
Thank you so much for joining me, Tony. I tell you what, can you open in a quick word of prayer, please? If you don't mind.
Okay. Gracious God, we just thank you for this day, how you've provided for us, for everything you've done and all that you're going to do. We just ask, God, that you will continue to give us direction, where you want us to go, what you want us to do as we lead and guide your people to being profitable stewards. And we thank you for all that has been done. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Just for the record, Tony and I are both in the Beachbody Business Opportunity. So I'm just going to get started, guys. This is actually going to be a series of discussions. So I'm going to tell you what's in the coming series and what we're going to focus on tonight. So as I said earlier, Christian entrepreneurs have a love-hate relationship with profit, P-R-O-F-I-T, not profit like, you know, the ones that share God's word. We're talking about money profit. Jesus came from heaven into a poor family, never owned any property, and was buried in a borrowed tomb. And for some, that means that Christians should be poor too. And many assume that following Jesus means we should copy that and be poor. So we're going to discuss today if we agree with that idea. Many Christians, when they're setting up shop, tend to select the nonprofit business model more often than non-Christian peers do when they're setting up their business. It just seems to me that there is some stigma around profit and being a person of faith. And if we earn profit, we feel that we must give it away. That's the nature of a non-profit organization, guys. It doesn't mean profit isn't earned, but whatever profit is earned has to be zeroed out at the end of the year. So, as I said, this is going to be a series of discussions. Today, we're going to stick to the first part of the discussion, which I mentioned earlier. Other things that will be coming up in the next few weeks along this line are, the Bible says we cannot serve God and money. So, if we as entrepreneurs pursue prosperity, does this mean that we serve money? Then we'll also look at later on, running a business has challenges and learning curves, many of it difficult and sometimes doesn't work out as planned. Does our faith help us in times like these, and how? And in another show, we'll have follow up with direct sales and MLMs often get lumped with the illegal concept of Ponzi or pyramid schemes. To make it worse, even good companies have rogue representatives that do unethical things. How can we as Christians help to lift the network marketing profession through our work or the way we do our business? Two other topics. One other topic we'll look at. I see some other people coming on. We are Christians first before we're entrepreneurs. And in our companies and on our teams, there's quite a bit of entrepreneurial training to help us grow our business. So do we feel that there is enough faith-based leadership out there to support us to grow as champions and examples of what an abundant life looks like to those who observe us? So if you're listening to this show and you're a Christian in network marketing or direct sales, I'm going to invite you to join our Facebook group. However you found this show today, I'll make sure there's a link for you. And that group is, you know, we're already in our opportunities. We already have our trainings from our various opportunities. This is not a cross recruiting opportunity. This is a group to encourage and support Christians to be bold in their faith and to, you know, to show up as who they are inside their business. We're Christians first and we're entrepreneurs. And, you know, we have to show up as who we are. So that's what this group is for. I'm extending an invitation. If this sounds like a match for you, however you found this recording today, there will be a link. Simply hit us up and join the group. So let me remind you again, the focus of tonight's conversation is Christian entrepreneurs sometimes have a love-hate relationship with profit. Jesus came into a poor family, never owned any property, and was buried in a borrowed tomb. Does that mean, this is the conversation tonight, does that mean Christians should be poor too? And should that assume that we should copy that example and be poor? Do you agree with that? So I've seen the line open up. The person from 970 area code, who is that? Introduce
it's
your
Rebecca.
Name and Rebecca. And what network marketing are you with, Rebecca?
Well, I am technically in World Ventures, but I'm not building that right now. I'm just using the product, but I am a self-awareness coach, and I deal with specific work with multi-level marketers, so I'm interested in this topic because it fills my clients a lot.
Okay, and then 727 area code, who's that?
Conrad Bailey.
Conrad Bailey. Awesome. Did you guys hear the topic we're discussing?
Yes.
Okay, so I'm actually going to keep very quiet except to maybe direct the movement of the conversation. Anybody who follows my show probably has a good idea of where I stand on this. So, guys, we're talking about our relationship with profit. You know, do you guys have a problem with profit? Do you see Christians having a problem with profit? You know, this whole idea that we're just supposed to be poor. Do you guys agree with that? The floor is open. Just be courteous, if you know, and allow each other to speak. But the floor is open. All the mics are open.
Well, let me jump in right here, Trudy. This is Tony. And I just wanted to make a comment. I made a comment a few weeks ago, and some people kind of took offense to it. I was talking about Jesus, and I made the comment that Jesus was an entrepreneur. And I wasn't suggesting that he was rich or, you know, striving for wealth, but I made the comment that he was an entrepreneur because, again, he was a carpenter. And so people took offense to that because I made that statement. And, you know, it's kind of hard to understand that because, again, in that day and time, worked for somebody or you provided a service for somebody. And so that's the kind of mindset people have today. Christians, we should not focus on things like that.
You make a good point about him being a carpenter and therefore an entrepreneur, because clearly he was earning his income through his skill set. So that's wow. And you said you got some backlash to that?
Yes. Yeah, that was almost a blast. That was almost a blast mistake.
Wow. Anybody else experience anything like that? Nobody else has seen this out there?
Are you talking about that? What his comment was about Jesus that being an entrepreneur?
No.
Or are you talking about?
Yeah.
Okay.
No, that Christians should be poor.
Right. This is Rebecca, and I just had heard somebody say from stage once, like, Christians many times they think that as long as people are making the same amount that they make, then that's a good wage. So it was just their perception of, like, what it was okay to, how rich you could be, and it was kind of based on, you know, how rich they were, and that was their opinion. And I always thought that was kind of interesting and somewhat true, because it just kind of goes with belief, I think. And many people I find think that it's just excessive to have, you know, and self-indulgent to have abundance, and they don't really understand it. So I think that it's just a way that the enemy has kept us from having our abundance by having people with this mindset that we don't need it somehow, that you just need enough. I don't agree. I think that we should have way more than enough, because we need to be showing the power of God in our life.
Okay, anybody else want to jump in on that? What have you seen?
Yeah, this is Conrad, and it does seem like there's a lot of people out there that think that if you end up creating a lot of wealth, that you had to have done it by taking advantage of people, because, that's their mindset. Instead of that your wealth comes from actually improving other people's lives. And I think that's one of the distinctions that a lot of people have, is they can't separate that, you know, because wealth comes from creating things. And creating abundance not only for yourself but those around you.
Wow, that's a powerful one. I'm going to explore that further later, Conrad. I may have to have you back to discuss that again. That's a powerful one that I don't think I've really explored, or it's been explored enough. Wow, that's a good one. Anybody else want to say anything? Because, so clearly I think we're in agreement that there is a concept out there that people have a problem with Christians making money. Is that a general agreement?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think so, yeah.
Okay. Yes, and I also have noticed that many churches don't really support the entrepreneurs within the body and encourage people to shop with them, or they, you know, it's like, oh, you can pin your thing on the board. That's about all we'll let you do, I found.
Amazing. You know, you're so right about that too. Anybody else experience that? I've definitely seen. Now, I want to tell you, Tony is a pastor of a church. And Tony, I know you've shared with me, I don't know if this is okay to say, that you feel uncomfortable as an entrepreneur promoting anything entrepreneurial inside the church. Now, it may not be a personal reason. It may be a congregation reason. Is there something you can speak at the church level as to what may be going on with the administrative or policy side, why churches seem to, I mean, they'll post a job fast, lickety-split, but when it comes to supporting the entrepreneurial spirit and members of the congregation, you want to share on that, Tony?
Yeah, hold on just a second.
Anybody want to jump in the meantime?
Yeah, this is Conrad again. I've done some events at churches as far as like money and business being able to, and it seemed like a lot of the churches don't seem to be very open to it. Because they think you're going to take advantage of the parishioners, and not realizing that we're actually offering value to them and being able to help build them. It's like with us, I do debt and insurance and investments and stuff. And I actually went through with one church, and they wouldn't let us come in and just talk about debt. And I'm sitting there going, now what exactly does it teach us in the Bible about debt? And you don't want to pass it on to the parishioners? Now, there's a lot of them that don't have issues, but it seemed like some have problems bringing people in to talk about those things. I think it could be because they don't want to end up having the legalities of, hey, if I referred them somebody, that if something happened, that they might be held liable, I think is the only thing that I'm coming up with.
Hmm. Okay, then I'll jump in now. I did tell you truly, I was actually driving. My wife's driving, so I didn't want to interfere. But from my perspective, as Comrade mentioned, I've actually brought professionals in to share information. And at sometimes, depending on who the professionals are, people have been taken advantage of, and a lot of pastors don't want to put themselves in that position of liability. But at the same time, there are those who will present information, but it's not well received by the parishioners.
Yeah. Rebecca, you wanted to say something?
Well, first of all, I just want to comment on his, that is a good point, that is true, that if you don't know them really well, and some people, like, especially there's particular personality types, it seems, or maybe people that are just newly in business and they're so excited, they're not very professional about the way that they are serving, and they really are just trying to sell. And so I think that is true. You do have to kind of protect. I can understand that in some ways the pastor and the churches would have to protect themselves from that inappropriate, immature kind of a mindset. But at the same time, I do feel like they should have some kind of venue to make sure that they're supporting the business and encouraging their parishioners to support the business as well. And what I guess what I was going to say is along with the lines of in churches, and I wonder if the part where Jesus goes into the church and the people are selling goods and he throws the tables over and he's very angry, if that has effect on people's opinions of business and church.
I want to agree with you on that one, Rebecca. My thoughts on that too is if they open that door, then it's like, why not me? Why not me? And then all the entrepreneurs are going to want, and it becomes almost like a big advertising fest. So I think there's something to that, but I think, you know, some churches have a clear distinction between their external outreach and what's going on as part of the church ministry. So I have seen some churches do like skills training, job training, career training, and this is, you know, it may even be something that they support off campus, but they encourage people to find their calling, whatever that may be. So it is shaky ground, and it's not clear cut. And clearly we have all these, you know, valid things coming up. So that's a really good point there. Something to be looked into in the future.
One thing I wanted to touch on too, Trudy, is sadly a lot of people have been brainwashed into thinking that there's a lot of honor in poverty. You know, the poorer you are, the closer you are to God.
Yes. That was the point I was making about Jesus being born into a poor family, not owning any property, and dying in a borrowed tomb. That is that honor in, they want to copy that, and they were right to me that they seem to, and they almost wear like a badge of honor, you know, to as if to say the further they are away from money is the more holy they are. I don't know how we're going to change that or, you know, that's what we're up against within the body of faith. Wow. And how do you think that mindset is impacting those who do try to step into entrepreneurship? Because, you know, I think there might be some sabotage going on for people who are struggling with the mindset of I've got to make a living, as an entrepreneur, and I need to keep this broke, you know, poor status. So what do you guys think on that?
Well, this is Rebecca, and I one of the things that I teach in my programs is really discovering your unique identity and how to brand that in the world and bring that almost to me, like you, Tony made the point about Jesus being an entrepreneur. I almost feel like because of the unique gifts that we're all given and we all are supposed to be serving the world in some way, then really the way that entrepreneurs are, even though they are technically looking to make money, we should all be serving the world with our gifts, right? And an entrepreneur is doing that in an even bigger way. But I think the mistake is made when people are not they're not in step with the spirit, and so they aren't serving the way that they should.
Is getting feedback. Let me see if I can identify who it is. I'm going to put you on mute for a while. Let's see. Hold on a second. Not Tony. Ah, it was Conrad. So, Conrad, I will bring you back on in a moment. Let me have Rebecca finish up your statement, honey.
Yeah, so I just think that that's kind of the big mistake, and why so many people are confused and don't want to support entrepreneurs is because people aren't in step with the spirit, and so therefore they aren't really serving in the way that they should. And I really do believe that, you know, the greatest among you will be servant to all, and that when we're really truly in our gifts in the way that God intended, that we should be, it should be so apparent that our heart is for service and not for profit. But of course, I believe that when you find that magical, like when you get in step with the spirit of who you are and who God created you to be, then the money will definitely come because you're being of such great value to the world that people are interested.
It's a reward for what you've done. Let me bring Conrad back and see if we still have the feedback. Conrad, you're back. Your mic is live.
You got it. And am I better now?
Okay. Yeah, it's better now. Did you want to add to that, Conrad?
No, that's fine.
Okay.
Hey,
now
let me. Can I chime in just a second? Yeah,
sure.
I agree totally with Rebecca. She hit the nail on the head. You know, the greatest among you will be servant to all, and we all know most of the people that followed Jesus did not follow him because he was the Son of God. They followed him because he met a need. And when he served them and when he met that need, that's when he had the greatest impact. And the church has focused so much on, now again, I believe salvation is the most important thing. But then once a person is saved, you must be able to meet that need. And so if you have a talent and an ability to reach that need by serving in another area, then I would suggest do that.
Conrad, we're definitely getting some feedback from your end. And I agree too.
I can move away from the kids.
Okay. The service is really where we're getting the compensation for what we've done. The service is really the compensation that comes back. And I want to even think that some of that compensation comes with a bountiful harvest sometimes and God's favor. So, you know, sometimes we can even be positioned over and above our peers simply because we are in step with the Holy Spirit. So, you know, I think we're all of us here on this line, we're all Christians, we're all entrepreneurs, and we all seem to be in agreement that there's no need for us to pursue poverty as a badge of honor, that there is honor in profit. So we're agreeing on that. So I actually, you know, I want you to look forward to the other topics that's coming up because there's some other big things I want us to really pull out. So unless I'm going to give you guys a chance to wrap up tonight because, you know, this is really the focus of tonight. But the next one we're going to be following up on this is the Bible says we cannot serve God and money. If we pursue prosperity, focusing on pursuing the prosperity, does that mean we serve money? So we'll get together for an agreed time for that next follow-up. It'll probably be in the new year because we're already at mid-December. But I want you guys to share the message along and you know, get, you know, some of us to comment. So we'll talk more about the pursuit of prosperity in that show. But I just want to wrap up. My take is we're all in agreement that there is absolutely no need to pursue poverty like a badge of honor. There's no reason that we cannot have prosperity. Anybody else want to add anything to the wrap-up of tonight's conversation?
Yeah, I was just realizing, you know, from the very beginning, God created Adam and Eve and put them in paradise with everything that they could possibly need, abundance of everything. And then every single great leader that showed themselves to be servant to God and to be following him and obedient to him, he blessed abundantly with wealth. And it's over and over and over again. And so it's so crazy that all those different people came to mind. Like every single person, not that every single moment of their life was of wealth and abundance. They usually had to go through their adversities and things like that. But he just gave them so much. And it was always that he blessed them abundantly.
Well, I wouldn't say every character in the Bible. Jesus himself did not, live a life of any kind of wealth on earth. And also Paul, formerly Saul, came to mind, and he definitely was struggling because he was a tent maker and he was funding a lot of the ministry he did. So we do have various examples in the Bible that range across, you know, and he's been hungry, he says, you know, he knows what it is to be hungry, he knows what it is to be homeless, all that kind of stuff. So we do have the various characters, but yes, I agree with you. And blessing in abundance doesn't always also have to be measured in money, but that's
right.
Another conversation. So the pursuit of the prosperity is what we'll talk about next time. Anybody else want to just give their last wrap up for tonight?
Yeah, there's a friend of mine that's Jewish, and he and I always have conversations. I'm not as well versed in the Bible as he is, believe it or not. He's like scripture verse, beginning to end, you name it. And the subject of money got brought up, and he goes, you know, there's a problem in Christianity, which is not true, that, and it's talking about the exact thing we're talking about, because he said that in your book, it says you should have abundance and blah, and so on and so forth. He says, and in the Jewish book, we translate that as in we're supposed to have abundance in everything. He goes, so we teach all of our people to have money, because by having money, you can affect other people and help other people and you can serve other people. He says, and this is where he thought there were that Christianity sort of took a little bit of a weird thing way back when and went back into, hey, everybody's got to be poor. And I understood it to a certain degree, and I was like, you know, it's true. Why is it that so many Christians are poor and there's so many Jewish people that are not poor? It's because they're taught you need to have money to be able to have abundance in other parts of your life and be able to affect other people's lives.
And, you know, the pursuit of prosperity is going to come up next week. I have so much that I want to say on that, but I'm holding that for now. And I am absolutely in agreement with your friend. Tony, you want to wrap up anything before we end tonight's call?
No, I just thanks for the conversation.
All right, guys, so that's it for tonight. I think, you know, we want whoever's listening to this to come to your own conclusion. You know, make your mind up for yourself. But here it is, 1, 2, 3, 4 of us here on the line. Oh, by the way, Conrad, what network marketing are you in? You didn't share.
Yes, Primerica Financial Services.
Okay. All right. So I'm also in the insurance space, Conrad, FYI. But anyway, so, all right. So, guys, that's it for tonight. Please join us. However you found this show, I will come back when we have an agreed date for our next follow up on the pursuit of prosperity. It will be in another few weeks, just to get through the end of 2016. And Trudy Behrman here. I am super simple to find at TrudyBehrman.com. Thank you, Tony Davis, Rebecca Kesselberg, Conrad Bailey, for joining me tonight. And, you know, thank you all, and we look forward. I hope you'll join me on the next show. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kid's PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.